This is 16-9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. I write about the digital signage business on my blog, 16-9. I celebrate great and intriguing work, I explore and explain new technology, and I filter the industry BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to get beyond the press releases and trade show chatter and hear from some of the most successful, influential, and interesting people in this business. In this episode, I'm having a chat with Bill Dunn, the founder and CEO of LG MRI. I hitchhiked down to Atlanta with Bill recently on his very cool, very fast six-seater company plane. We did a facility tour, and then we sat down to talk. So, thanks for having me down here. I've spent the better part of a day looking around the facility. Very impressive. Can you give us an idea of where the company came from and what's your core focus?
Yeah, it's been literally a 25-year journey. Started out in aerospace, aviation, specifically cockpit displays for military aircraft. Transitioned, I guess we started the company in 1991, transitioned in 1997 to start getting into business aviation, commercial aviation. Early 2000s, we had captured the lion's share of the market domestically and certainly the majority of the market globally for LCD displays in the cockpit of anything from Boeing commercial jets to military fighters and transport to ground military vehicles to Army helicopters. So I began looking as to where else could we apply the technology, the intellectual property, our capital equipment, our engineering resources, and decided to venture out into the digital signage business. So this is about 2004. Actually delivered our first product in 2006, and the rest has kind of been history. So the company's just been growing nearly 100% year over year for the last 10 years.
So how do you go from military to digital signage?
Well, the environment really isn't that much different. We're dealing with certainly the elements, the rain, the dust, the debris, the heat, the sun. So having our military background, our commercial aviation background, where we're dealing with gunfire vibration, shock, catapult launches, salt fog, sand, humidity, direct sun and bubble canopies, a lot of the challenges and the solutions are very similar.
So if you can make this a display work in an M1A2,
yeah.
Okay, a tank.
Right, a tank.
You can make this work even on the streets of New York.
Well, exactly. I mean, you've got, on a tank, you've got obviously the gunfire vibration, you've got horrific sand, you can have salt, temperature extremes, track slap, diesel exhaust fumes, it's actually kerosene coming out of the gas turbine that powers the tank. So it's a very nasty, very harsh environment, but you look at the streets in New York, whether we're on top of a taxi cab, or we're in a bus shelter, we're in a transit venue, we're inside a train station, you have the electrically conductive brake dust from the metallic brake shoes. You've got the steel rails on the steel rails on the train. You've got a lot of vibration and shock with trains entering and exiting the station. You'll realize how much the ground vibrates. If we're on top of a taxi cab, you're going through potholes, you're going through car washes, acceleration, deacceleration, you're in traffic accidents. It's a very tough, very harsh environment.
So the kind of range of products that you do, they're effectively LCDs in public spaces or even on taxi tops?
Everything we do first, it is LCD technology. It's all LED backlight. And we focus on the harsh environment. So the direct outdoor unprotected environment. You're directly in the sun. You're exposed to the wind. You've got all the debris and sand and dust. You've got the public that may inflict vandalism on the unit. So we may be on top of the roof of a taxi, could be on the side or back of a truck, could be inside a train, outside a train, could be on a train platform where you have temperature extremes, you've got the pressure waves of the trains pulling in and exiting the station, so you got a lot of atmospheric pressure change, which tends to drive dust and debris into your typical display. But all of our products are 100% sealed, and whether it's an indoor product, semi-indoor product, or outdoor product, they are sealed against dust, debris, water, fluids. You can pressure wash them. You don't have to worry about pressure changes from trains coming in and out of the station. There are no air filters. There is no outside air that ever enters the inside of our electronics chassis. There's no periodic maintenance. So the units stay sealed, clean, and pristine for life. Mm-hmm. And life on our products is the industry leading 10 years we designed for. We've proven by deployments around the globe. We've proven through engineering analysis and test the products will provide full performance for a full 10 years. And we guarantee the performance. When I say performance, optical, luminance, contrast, viewing angle, color saturation. I believe we're the only ones in the industry that provide any guarantee on optical performance.
Mm-hmm. And you expressed a fair amount of frustration with the industry and the public the industry perception of these sorts of products and how important the sort of work that you guys do is to doing a proper deployment versus a lot of buyers who maybe are looking more at some very fairly base specifications that are making decisions based on price, initial price versus real cost.
Yeah, the industry, it comes out of consumer electronics and the TV and the monitor industry. There are standards for measuring luminance, contrast ratio, and viewing angle. Unfortunately, all these measurements are based upon brand new products in a temperature controlled environment where the display itself is 25 degrees C, not just the ambient, in a totally dark room, totally black. You're obviously going to get the best visual optical measurements. So from a marketing standpoint, you can wave the flag as to how well your display performs. But when you take it outdoor in the sunlight, totally different world, totally different environment. And the specifications that are being used to make decisions don't hold up in that environment. When you have the direct sun, you're not looking at it perpendicular display, you're looking at it off angle. You're looking 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road, and are the optical parameters going to be maintained? The reality is none of it holds true. With the LG MRI product, we are certifying and providing the guarantee that the optical performance is going to be maintained for an entire 10 years of time.
So you're saying I go to a trade show, I'm a buyer, I want some outdoor displays, I see Brand X has a display that's very clearly daylight readable. When I see it on the trade show floor, it looks awesome. When I put it out in the real world, I'm not going to see anything like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you've seen with your own eyes during your visit here, we've had some examples that when you have that ambient illumination, when you have the sun beating down on the product and the reflections that come off the display from the sun, mm-hmm. when you have the heating effects that the sun is causing the interior temperature to rise, you've got the ambient temperature combined with that, the competing products, their performance begins to suffer. And their specifications state that the performance begins to suffer. People tend to ignore that. With the LG MRI product, again, we demonstrated, tested, proved, and provide the guarantee that any of the optical parameters are specified are not going to degrade with increasing temperature up to 50 degrees C ambient, are not adversely affected by direct sunlight, will be maintained for a 10-year period of operation in the real world.
And you've kind of indicated that a nice healthy part of your business is a replacement business for those end users have gone with somebody else, realized what the real world throws at it, and have decided, you know what, we need to look at this more closely and really analyze what the options are out there. And when they do that, yeah, they go your way.
Our best customers, and certainly we have a very loyal customer base that have used competitive products, find that typically the operational expense is far more than they ever budgeted or expected.
Like how much more?
Honestly, from a budget standpoint to reality, it costs about 10 times what they expect it to cost.
And why is that?
Well, the reliability, the units in general across the board overheat. They run extremely hot. They typically ingest outside air. Even if they go through multiple levels of filters, they're still ingesting some degree of particulate and dust. They're still ingesting contaminants, whether it's car exhaust, diesel exhaust, humidity. typically the electrical components are not conformally coated, so this outside air or debris is coming across all the solder joints, all the exposed traces on the circuit boards, and it causes the units to short out, and that combined with extreme temperatures, the units just fail. So the maintenance costs get very, very high.
And I think you're also telling me stories about how even in the initial stages when somebody makes a decision to buy this particular product, they ship to site and they don't really understand all the implications of what's going to be needed to install on site, and that adds all kinds of labor costs.
We differentiate between total cost of deployment and total cost of ownership. So in our mind, and what we try to work with our customers is help them understand what is it going to cost them from the time they make the decision to buy a product until they actually have it installed on site and operating. So the LGMRI strategy or philosophy, all of our products are totally integrated, totally turnkey, totally complete system solutions. We do all of the IP configuration for internet protocol. We do all of the operating system imaging on the players. We do all the loading of the content. We attempt to have the unit completely functional, completely integrated, connected to the customer's network operational center before it leaves our factory.
So it shows up on a truck at a fast food place. Drive-through lane, you've got a pre-sell board and a menu board. They're going to pull it off a truck, hoist it into place, put four bolts in or whatever, find power, find connectivity, and ideally you're done?
That's correct. And typically, if you use the example of a fast food restaurant, there's typically an existing static board. And it's a retrofit situation. So
they got power going there anyway.
We engineer and design the product. You already have mounting studs coming out of the concrete. You already have power coming down the concrete. You may or may not have data communications. But you get on site, you'll need a boom truck to physically lift the old static board off, particularly the menu board. So you arrive on site, you connect your boom truck, you undo typically three wire nuts, so white, black, and green for the power. You undo four nuts, you hoist the old board off, you pick our board up, it drops onto the same studs. You typically don't have to re-level it because you don't adjust the lower nuts and washers, they're already in place. Slap the washers down, run the nuts down, connect the three wires. You may have to pull the data cable. You plug the data in, you turn it on, it should be up, running, connected to the customer's network operational center and displaying content.
So yeah, you're talking about two guys in an hour versus you may be in a situation where it's four guys and they're there for a full day.
That is correct. So from arriving on site, doing a pre-menu board or a pre-sell board and a menu board per drive-through lane, and honestly, once you get into the repetition or the rhythm, it's probably no more than 2 hours on site. It should be 1 hour or less.
Mm-hmm. We're in Atlanta. We started the day over at American Panel Corporation, and you build LCD displays for military and commercial aircraft. And the impression I got out of that is then coming over here is you've really applied that sort of military discipline and all that experience, like hundreds of patents and everything else, to this business, and it really shows on the way you're doing things.
And again, the set of companies, American Panel and now MRI, started 25 years ago. Before that, I had spent probably two decades of my career in aviation and military. So my history in displays goes back now, 43 years. I've been working in displays, so from 1973 up through 1997, 100% military. From 1997 to today, a mix of military, commercial, business aviation, military ground vehicles. But you're right, the design philosophy, methodologies, the science, the engineering, as you've seen during your visit here, we model, simulate, and test everything, whether it's optical, thermal, structural, in a 3D virtual world, using computer-aided design tools to optimize the design before we start fabricating. And the design principles, number one rule is you've got to keep it cool. If you can't keep it cool, it's not going to survive. Keep it clean. So with that philosophy, as we got into the digital signage business some 10 years ago, we were determined we were not going to take outside air of any type and have it blow across any electrical components, across any optics. We were going to conduct the heat to heat exchangers, blow the contaminated air, what we call the open loop air, through the core of the heat exchangers, and transfer the heat across the skins of the heat exchangers. Mm-hmm. And so we have, I equate it to a car radiator. So our open loop is like the air blowing through the radiator of your car. People say, how is it that LGMRI has no air filters? How can you live in these very harsh environments and thrive in these environments with no air
filters? Are environments like in the desert in Las Vegas?
It can be any. It can be Las Vegas, Dubai. Can be train stations are horribly
ghastly
filthy.
Places like Canada.
Yeah, exactly. So I ask people, I say, do you have an air filter on your car radiator? Well, no. How often do you clean your car radiator? Never. That is how the air-to-air heat exchangers work in the LGMRI product. So we do have contaminated, dirty, wet outside air going through the open loop core of the heat exchanger, but then we have a isolated system of what we call closed loop air. It's perpetually sealed, clean, dry for life. And I equate that to the antifreeze running through the core and the engine block of your car. Most people probably never change their antifreeze in the life of their car. Fortunately, since we're not dealing with the fluid and we're dry, we don't have any corrosion issues, but that air stays entrapped and clean and just perpetually circulates and, mm-hmm. and convects the heat and exchanges the heat through the skins of the heat exchanger.
So my predictably stupid understanding of this whole space of digital out-of-home and QSR drive-through screens is you get open frame flat panel displays from a manufacturer in China or Korea or whatever. You're building enclosures, you're sealing them up, and you're figuring out how to keep them cool, and that's about it. But what I saw today was like a big-ass factory, and you're taking displays down to the wood, like just to the LCD film itself, and starting over.
Yeah, I guess a couple things. The competitors that we deal with do exactly as you said. They will buy a hot-rodded or high-brighted monitor from a manufacturer, typically.
These are daylight readable or sunlight readable?
Well, they're not necessarily. They're high luminance. So they will tout a luminance or brightness value of 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 nits of luminance, maybe higher.
Which, if you don't understand what that means, basically means it's so bright, it cuts through the sunlight.
It's bright, and if you control reflections and you can control heat, it may be daylight viewable. But they take a high bright LCD that they buy. They carefully seal it inside of a ingression protection IP54, 56, 65 enclosure. This is basically to
which means waterproof environmental seal.
Keep water out of it, keep dust out of it.
I'm your translator here.
Yeah, but in doing that, in our mind, the tragic mistake is the sun. The sun is beating down on these outdoor displays, and the maximum solar intensity is 1,250 watts per 1 square meter of surface area. So if we're talking about a bus shelter display or an outdoor menu board, it's about 2 square meters. So you've got 2,500 watts of heat just from the sun. So with the competitor's product, that heat is absorbed by the LCD and it's carefully trapped inside this enclosure. And then with this, as I called it, the hot-rodded LCD, you're running on a competitive product, maybe 750 to 1,000 watts per meter square of board area. So you'll be running on a 2 square meter display somewhere in the 1,500 to 2,000 watts of backlight power, and that's encased and trapped. Then you have power supply inefficiencies, and typically power supply is about 85% efficient, so you're going to have about 15%, so you're going to have 300, 400, 500 watts of inefficiency in the power supply. So I've got 2,500 from the sun, I've got 2,000 from the backlight, so I'm at 4,500, I've got 500 from the power supplies. I've got 5,000 watts of heat very carefully sealed inside of this IP enclosure. And then I've got some incidental electronics, a media player, probably cooling fans, some kind of A to D board, but that's very low power. But I've got this 5,000 watts in this enclosure, and by God, it's getting very hot. So now they struggle with, how do we get rid of this heat? How do we deal with cooling the unit with that much heat inside? And there's several solutions, electromechanical air conditioners, horribly inefficient, condensation inside the unit, condensation outside the unit, draw a lot of electrical power, which drives your operational cost up. You got electric motors. It's not terribly reliable. It's got CFC coolant. It's not environmentally friendly. So it's not a good solution.
So you're saying the net result, if I'm remembering correctly, is on average, you're going to see maybe 3 years of life out of displays.
Well, that's an interesting statement. Yes, 3 years until it is so dim and so... It's totally not viewable. You can't tell if it's on or off.
But it's degrading almost out of the gate.
Not almost out of the gate. It's degrading from day one. So in 3 years, it's not viewable. It reflects poorly on the customer's brand and the customer's image. It's just not getting the ROI. There's lots of complaints and issues. So they typically wind up throwing it away and replacing it with a new unit.
And you're saying with LG's product, LG MRI's product, that you're getting 10 years and you're
10
not
years
seeing degradation.
Of full performance. So we sell a 3,500 nit product. It will maintain that 3,500 nits for a full 10 years in any temperature from minus 40 to plus 50 degrees C ambient. So minus 40F to 122F.
And this is generally regarded as a commodity business. You buy a display, it lasts 3-4 years and you're out of there. But you've got this to a level that you were telling me that insurance underwriters.
We call this an enterprise level product. It's mission critical. It's a revenue generator. It's a product that you use to make money to improve the quality of your business. So we brought on financial syndication partners this year. They've sent the underwriters out to investigate how we engineer, how we fabricate, how we assemble. They've gone out and looked at product that's been in the field for 10 years, literally. They've gone to the trade shows, looked at the competition, and they've come back and agreed that this is not, what LG MRI manufactures and sells is not a commodity throwaway product. It is an enterprise level product, which allows them to provide financing to our customer base. And it's a operational X or signage as a service where there's a substantial residual value that allows us to match the payment for the product to the cash flow the business is generated. Makes them very, very cost effective, makes the LG MRI product far more competitive.
So what it means is instead of facing this big number at the front, you can put it on a monthly operating line or
zero upfront CapEx expense, a monthly payment, flexibility in the term, whether it's 36 months or all the way out to 84 months, some optionality if there's concern about technology obsolescence, there's escape routes to allow you to terminate the lease and return the product.
So you extrapolate it out to or down to, you know, per hour. It might cost $1 an hour, and you talk to the fast food guy and say, can you sell one more milkshake an hour or whatever the
metric
is.
Exactly. So they quickly go from sticker shock and resistance to, gee, can I afford this, to, fast food. We were just at one of the major trade shows 2 weeks ago and had many operators come in and say, oh, I can't afford this. So how much does it cost? And when you break it down, like you say, into 70 cents an hour, $1 an hour, $1.25 an hour, and they start running the numbers in their head and start thinking about the sales lift, virtually every one of them walked away saying, my God, I can't afford to be without it.
Because they already know they're seeing sales lift inside with the digital boards.
Inside of the digital boards, exactly.
And 70% of the sales are outside in most cases.
That is correct.
So LG MRI, how does that work? Are you owned in part by LG or separate? Is this like a joint?
So LG MRI is a 50-50 joint venture between LG Electronics out of Seoul, South Korea, and MRI, which I'm the founder and proprietor of MRI. So LG has no equity stake in MRI. I have no equity stake in LG, but the LG MRI is a 50-50 joint venture. And what we've done is we brought the MRI technology and product base, an initial customer base, to LG Electronics to add to their product portfolio. And now we've got the LG Electronics sales subsidiaries around the world, which there's 52, 54 sales subsidiaries marketing the product.
So you get a lot more feet on the street.
Absolutely.
And you're the sole proprietor of the company,
that's
right?
That's correct.
As well as the American
Panel Corporation.
Okay. And how many employees?
American Panel has roughly 100, and right now MRI has roughly 200, so 300 employees total, of which 90 are degreed engineers. So we're very engineering intensive, as you've seen.
I've noticed that. I had half an hour on computational fluid dynamics.
That's right. We apply lots of science, lots of engineering, lots of technology, so we're extremely confident that the products perform as stated.
And when it comes to stuff like computational fluid dynamics, I was able to say that twice. What's going on there? What are you actually doing, and why do you apply that?
Well, again, coming out of the aerospace and military ground vehicle background, and I said it earlier, cool electronics means life. If I can keep the product cool, I keep the backlight cool, my efficiency goes up, so the amount of power I need to get a given brightness goes down. If my power goes down, my cooling job becomes easier. As components run cool and they run dry and they run clean, they live. So this is how we get the incredible life out of these products, is by managing the heat. So our very first step on every single design, we spend roughly one calendar month running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, repeated computational fluid dynamics analysis to optimize the thermal performance of the unit before we begin fabricating anything. Mm. And as you saw, with CFD, you can probe, section, slice, you can see anything and everything about the thermal environment, whether it's mass airflow, pressure, temperature. You can look at individual components, individual surfaces, you can look at velocities, you get insight as to where the air is going, how is it flowing, is it cavitating, is it flowing over the components you're concerned about. The wealth of information that comes off of that is unbelievable. And there is no way you can instrument and measure.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen before you build.
As opposed to let's build something and hopefully this works.
Yeah, we don't pray and hope and wish it's going to work. We know before we fabricate within 2 degrees centigrade with or without solar load how it's going to perform. And you saw one of the engineers put up a double-sided unit, and you saw the effect of heat on or the sun on one side and no sun on the other side. So we're in EFD, in computational fluid dynamics or engineering fluid dynamics, we're modeling what happens when the sun is not shining and what's happening when the sun is at full intensity.
And one of the things that was really interesting to me was, again, not knowing this part of the industry all that well, I kind of assumed this was an assembly facility, but maybe you could describe the range of things that you have out back and how big that place is.
Well, not only do we purpose engineer and purpose design, and when I say engineer and design, it's everything. So it starts with the computational fluid dynamics. It gets into structures, as you saw, on fatigue life and wind load and vibration and deformation, so we know the product is safe and we know the product's going to last 10 years. We actually engineer all the circuit boards. So we do all the electrical design, all the component derating thermally and electrically.
And that's with robotics?
Well, I'm just saying on the engineering side, we do the wire harnesses, we do all the sheet metal design and 3D solids, but then we fabricate. So we get on the manufacturing or fabrication side. So we do all of the robotic surface mount technology or SMT. So we're actually putting individual resistors, capacitors, diodes, ICs in solder paste on circuit boards, doing the reflow soldering. After the board is built, and as you saw, a lot of robotics, a lot of automatic optical inspection, not only of component placement and position, but each and every solder joint. The board is then tested 100%, and since we design it, it's a very intelligent board. All of the built-in tests, all the diagnostics are engineered into the electronics, so it's a very smart circuit board, and it's a very smart system because every circuit board is designed to interoperate. They all talk to each other. They all know what's going on. It's not a collection of procured items that you have no pedigree, no intellectual property, no knowledge of derating. And they really were never designed by the disparate manufacturers to communicate or work together, but this is an integrated system. But then as you saw out there, our product starts with cutting raw metal, whether it's glass, plastic, stainless steel, aluminum wire. We've got all of the lasers, water jets, robotic panel formers, dynamic crowning press brakes, glass scribe and brake, digital printing, firing, optical bonding to make the laminated safety glass. All of that is done in our facility. And then you mentioned earlier that we really start with the bare cell. Depending on the size and the maturity of the cell, we really...
By cell, you mean the LCD?
Yeah, we want to buy the bare cell from LG Display in South Korea, and that's basically 1 millimeter of glass color filter and active plate with the source and drive ICs and the circuit boards. No optical films, no mechanical chassis, no backlight. And that's used as a low-level component to build it up. On the newer products, we do buy LCD modules from LG. These are their commercial or professional display modules, not a monitor, not a TV, not a high-brighted unit, just the module. Mm-hmm. And on those, we will disassemble, and we're removing the cell and its timing controller. We may or may not use some of the optical films that come with the module, but we're not using the backlight. We're not using any of the mechanical components. Those are recycled disposed of. But the cell that is harvested then goes into the buildup mm-hmm. from scratch mm-hmm. of our units. So as you saw, we design and fabricate and do the assembly of our own backlight. It's we start with a bare LED chip and selecting what the lumens per watt are, what the peak wavelength is. We specify the entire radiometric phosphor blend so we get the right white color temperature. We get the widest color gamut or color saturation we possibly can. We get the highest efficacy, lumens per watt.
So you're engineering the daylights out of these things.
Exactly. The lead frame, so we get good thermal conduction, so we have very little temperature rise. So mm-hmm. our LEDs by far run cooler than anybody's in the industry. They're typically 5, maybe 10 degrees max above ambient temperature. Mm-hmm.
What's the installed base out there?
We have 30,000 display faces. I use the term display faces. More and more, we're doing the double-sided, mm-hmm. and believe we're currently the only ones in the industry that have outdoor double-sided products, relatively thin. We're about 250 millimeters or 10 inches mm-hmm. thick.
Can you talk about who you work with?
Well,
who allows you to say?
It's public knowledge as to who our customer base is. Our strength has been in what's called digital out-of-home or street furniture, so bus shelters, transit venues, street kiosks, so JCDecaux, Clear Channel, Outfront, Intersection, Cubicore, the list goes on and on. About 70% of our total business is outside of the United States. Mm-hmm. I believe currently there's only two continents we're not on. We're not on Antarctica and we're not in Africa yet, but getting closer. I believe every other continent we have quite a large deployment. Mm-hmm. We're certainly looking to get into other verticals, retail, hospitality, banking, quick service restaurant. We've done fairly well in the convenience store, mm-hmm. Gas pump top units.
And you were talking earlier about, you know, kind of where you're at and the opportunity that's out there. From your point of view, this is a, particularly the digital out-of-home market is just really starting to move.
Well, as a company, I mentioned earlier, we're growing nearly 100% or 2x year over year, and this has been going on for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So as you see, we've created quite a sizable operation. But as far as a market, I personally believe ourselves and all of our competitors combined have maybe tapped 1% of the available market. It's just it's a very new industry, just tremendous upside potential. There isn't a day that goes by that somebody doesn't dream of a new application for mm-hmm. a digital sign.
So if I'm a media company owner, a particular startup that's just getting into the space and, as you say, has discovered some or come up with some idea of a land grab or whatever that they're going to put screens in, what's that piece of advice that you would give them about what they need to think about as they're moving forward?
Well, certainly there's a lack of understanding as to what's involved in a deployment. A lot of our competition will sell basically a do-it-yourself component. Maybe it's a hybrid monitor. Doesn't include wall mounting, doesn't include load centers, may not include media players. someone really needs to guide the end customer in total system integration and what is that going to take. So the LG MRI product, again, we focus on a turnkey system solution. So the product includes primary power, load center, GFI circuit breakers, surge arresters, all of the mounting brackets are typically designed into an integral to the product, so you don't have to go out and buy another bracket. All the communication devices, the media players, and we're very open to what media player is used. We don't design or manufacture media players. We have a default that we typically use, but if a customer wants to use their media player or they want to specify the communication mm-hmm. device, but we want to house that inside our clean, cool, dry, closed loop mm-hmm. system. We want to be able to electronically connect and communicate to it so we can monitor it. We can do remote power cycling if necessary of these devices. And a lot of the competition depends on a third party to do that, where they're not managing that third party. It's really up to the customer or the end client. Mm-hmm. And they quickly find that their, what I call total cost of deployment, begin to spiral out of control. What they thought was a low-cost bargain solution quickly escalates to cost as much or more than what we're offering.
So in short, all outdoor panels are not created equal.
Oh, absolutely not. Not even close. Not even close.
All right. Well, thank you very much for spending the time today.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate you coming down and spending the day with us.
It's been great.
All right. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9.net every day and subscribe to this podcast as I stick my shiny new Tascam recorder in the faces of more industry people in the coming weeks. Thanks again for listening. 16.9, the blog, and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. I'm Dave Haynes.